You cannot have a picture of me because there is no soul in this picture.
Mm-hmm.
How can there be a soul in this picture? The soul is only now in this expression in every moment. Only this realm here in that 3D is the only realm
that
karmic imprints
can be dissolved
through what? Through the integration of the KDIUCL, the cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional, compassionate love.
Welcome to the voices of the one mind, where the elixir of wisdom flows freely. Join us as we dive into the profound thoughts of extraordinary human beings who embody wisdom, offering insights that serve as a bridge to awakening. Unshackling minds from the chains of suffering, our conversations pave the way for enhanced health, enriched lives, and exponential spiritual growth. Get ready to sip on the nectar of the one mind with us.
Now you say everything is perfect,
mm-hmm.
and in perfect alignment. How would you classify this intuition? So you just mentioned, yes, I was there,
mm-hmm.
although my intuition said I should not go, and though you validate a bit, right, that the experience was not amazing. But if we put it in a way, everything is perfectly aligned, universal law, how would you consider this? Because
completely, and that's why I said the intuition is more bound to the human cognition, while the knowing is something absolute.
But it's still perfect that you...
And here we go. So let's stay with this example. I went there, but I was at the end not so happy. So what is the medicine of it? As the native people would call it, what was your medicine of that evening that you went there? What did you get from that, you know, if you look at it? So one medicine could be, for example, yes, you went there, you didn't like it so much, and you start to question your free will, you know. You start to question your free will, if that is really something so good, or if it is a curse. Because there is a lot of ego in the free will expression. And when I say perfect, this is one possibility. And when I say perfect is because everything in the universe, in the divine expression, in nature, there is no such thing that anything is imperfect. There cannot be imperfection in nothing, literally nothing. Nothing is imperfect. And when people ask me, hey, Bear, how are you? My answer will always be, I'm perfect. And that doesn't mean that in this very moment that I type it, I don't have a headache or I have a backache or something. And it's not that I'm saying, wow, I'm so good. And in reality, so it's not about putting myself in a better situation that the physical body at the moment is. No, this is not the point. Because I sometimes say to friends, well, I'm absolutely perfect, just I have a terrible headache. And this is difficult for people to understand. How can you say you're perfect when you have a terrible headache? So the question will only be, does someone really believe that this headache is by coincidence and this headache is not a medicine for something?
Yeah,
does somebody
point.
Really believe into the imperfection of nature and the universe? And if you believe that, in the word believe, in the middle, there are three letters after the B-E, be light. B-L-E-E, there's the word lie in the word. So believing is something which has a big notion and possibility that someone is completely led into the wrong path.
Well, we all know that sometimes we have a belief system.
And so, yes, we have patterns and belief system.
Yes, we create during our life path or not. Would you say, through the definition or through the semantic of the word, that the belief system is a lie or is a misconception?
Yes, absolutely. from that perspective, from an absolute perspective, the belief system is an illusion. The belief system is what we said initially in our conversation. The belief system is giving ourselves these names, these jobs, this, we are creating a story with it. The belief system is here to create a story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also to remind us on that story that who we are. You see? We are born in that and that city. We are the child of that and that mother and that father, and that happened to me in the childhood, and this and that. And we are living constantly in this illusionary past experience, and putting this illusionary past experience that doesn't exist anymore, we are putting this into some kind of the next illusion, a linear timeline. So we're putting this, not even, and here is the point, in the present moment, but we're putting it much worse into a so-called illusionary future.
Mm-hmm.
So there is literally no time to live the moment, no space. Also, space and time is an illusion, but to live the moment. And what means live the moment? Because everyone is here now in this moment, but to live the moment consciously, you know. And if we look into the absolute reality, any realization can only be in the now. There cannot be a realization in the past, and there cannot be a realization in the future. And then people would argue, yeah, but what is this? Tomorrow is tomorrow. And I say to people, well, show me that tomorrow now, touch that tomorrow, you know, like, where is this tomorrow? And I say, yeah, but tomorrow after midnight, it's tomorrow. No, tomorrow after midnight, it's now again. You understand?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I will give you an example from North American natives where I've been studying and living with them for a long time, though with the Blackfeet, but in the eastern woodland tribes, the Iroquois Nation, the Mohawk, these tribes, you cannot take. And I have a very, very, very dear friend there. She's Mi'kmaq, half Mi'kmaq and half Mohawk. You cannot take pictures of these people.
Oh.
It's not allowed. I have been at a ceremony with the Blackfeet, where she was part as well. And then there were like American tourists, and they took pictures, and she was running around like crazy and asking them to erase all the pictures.
What's the reason behind this?
If you ask them, they say because the soul is stolen.
The soul is stolen?
The soul is stolen through this taking a picture. Now, from what I just said before, something is captured in an elusive timeline, right? Then people look at it and say, yes, but now here I can prove that the past exists. Because see, at the past you have been up on this mountain. So, you see, when we go very deep from an absolute reality, according to the Mohawk and let's say the Iroquois Nation, even us sitting here, having a conversation and this being broadcasted, this being recorded and broadcasted out, would not work for them. You know, it's really literally the moment. So you can do a broadcast with them, but it has to be live broadcasted in this very moment.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. So, talking times and connecting dots around the world, why some native people are not allowing to take pictures, it has literally to do, even if they are told it means that the soul is stolen, which is a metaphorical expression for the soul is the soul that is only an expression of the now, all the time. And that soul in that now expresses the human life. So we have to understand that the soul aggregate is like a never-ending birthing canal that in every second, I have to use these terms like minutes and seconds and whatever, even if I don't like it, is recreating, reinventing, repositioning manifested physical life in every moment anew. You see? So, you cannot have a picture of me because there is no soul in this picture. Mm-hmm. How can there be a soul in this picture? The soul is only now in this expression in every moment. And
so their metaphoric is very beautiful, right? If you put it in this example.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is what people can learn, you know, well, not learn, but what people can hear again, discernment, ask themselves. When all the TVs and all our life and all the companies and corporations tell us about time, space, and on the other hand, I have a free will to ask these tribes where they have these notions from, and to have a discernment towards all those who preach time and it doesn't mean that I need to follow them, and they don't preach time because generically, you know, everything is in a big journey of experience. This is the thing, and this experience has the biggest notion, the main reason for that journey I told you before, and then it has a lot of side notions, karmic imprints of the soul strands that want to be lived, a lot of trauma that comes in with these soul aggregates of this into the earthly realms that wants to be resolved and dissolved during this earth work, and that's possible. Why? Because only this realm here in that 3D is the only realm
that you can do this.
That karmic imprints
can be dissolved
through what? Through the integration of the key DIUCL, the cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional, compassionate love.
Did you meet? Do you have an example of a human being that lives? Or integrated KDI with you?
I have a few examples of people I cannot mention. I don't want to mention them, but I have
it's
a
not
few.
Important.
No, but I have a few examples of friends, of people.
How do you perceive them? What?
Generically, I perceive them. Breaking it down onto a very easy expression, I perceive them, first of all, very calm, very humble, very at service, very helpful, and the most important thing, they would never say no. Meaning, once you give up your free will, and that we could do another conversation about giving up the free will, or actually we could invite one grandmaster. To a series to talk about the dissolving of the free will or giving up of the free will, which would be very beautiful. And they are very humble. And once you gave up your free will, in practical examples, if somebody comes to them and asks them a question, they are not able to answer with no. Right?
It's about the question, or it's also about doing?
No, it's about the thing that this saying yes or no is a completely ego thing. Now many people, when I say this now, many people will argue with me and say, yes, but I have my free will and I can discern if I want to do something or not, and I have the right to say no. Well, when I say you have the right because you have the free will to do so, but if you say no, or if you say yes, I mean, doesn't matter. I mean, yes and no is only a way of expression of the egoistic human that separates itself from the happening. Why? If I don't perceive you separate of me, and you come and say, let me bite from that piece of bread. Mm-hmm. I would not, if I don't perceive this as separate, I would not come to the notion to say yes or no. Because while I'm eating, as the human expression, and I bite off the bread, I don't always ask, can I bite? Yes, no. Can I bite? Yes, no. Can I bite? Yes, no. Right? I'm giving this very simple, rather stupid example, but you understand what I want. Only because I perceive you as something separate, I make the notion, I come up with an idea with two words, yes or no. But where do these two words, yes or no, even come from? When we separate it. The moment we separate it in the mind, we needed to invent these two words. But this notion to the first human expressions walking on planet Maldek before they came to Earth, the human species, there was no such a notion of yes and no. Everything was. And nobody had the capacity, even in a cognitive brain, to question something. Should I now say yes? Should I no? Well, if I say no, I have less of it. So better now, do I need it for tomorrow? Yes, then I better say no. You know, all these kind of things. They were not even, not that the people were humble and said, yes, of course I give. No, the notions of thinking such things were not even there. And if I
hence,
perceive...
also situations...
Yeah?
Where we would say they ask you to do something not beneficial for somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. Because the notion mm-hmm. is not there.
Yeah.
Then also no other situation is not there, right?
Exactly.
Like stealing or
exactly.
any other situation
Absolutely
like
not.
This, right?
Because where does stealing come from? Stealing comes from that notion. And also stealing, obviously, always needs to have an ego drive from the person who steals, you know. If I perceive myself separated, myself, if I perceive the bear as a self, and I perceive you as a self, Sophia is a self and bear is a self, then all of a sudden there is a border. Mm-hmm. And if you come to me and say, can I have this? Can I have that? All of a sudden, I need to open court. I need to become a judge.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to share that? Do I don't want to share that? Let me think about that. Disadvantages, advantages. No, I'm so humble. Of course I will. You see? Of course, then you have the people who are constantly in their mind, yes, I will give it, no, I will not give it. Then you have other people who are, let's say, completely at service, and they would say, yes, yes, you can have. But they would do that from a drive of being recognized and seen, which is an ego drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would serve others from that, with that notion, from that
to
drive.
To be admired.
To be admired. You know, when you carry a lot of traumas, you need that admiring, and many people express this admiring by
from an external source by
being so-called at service with a notion, and don't get me wrong, being at service is the most beautiful thing, but with a notion that when the moment they have been at service and then turn around, they are unhappy.
Mm.
You see,
the doing, the action made them unhappy because it's just coming.
Exactly.
They are doing it.
It comes from a wrong drive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now, coming back to that, if I give up my free will and somebody stands at the door and says, I want 1,000 euros from you. Now, the normal way of the cognition would say, no, why should I give you 1,000 euros? I don't know you. Right? Now, when you have given up the free will, why do you question? Why Atman is questioning Brahman? Or did anyone else as Brahman appear on your door? Who appeared on your door to ask for 1,000 euros? Who was that? Is there something else in expression than Atman and Brahman, which is the same?
It's the same person.
It's the same person that appeared there. And it's a play. It's a play by itself. And I would call them masters, without putting them somewhere on a pedestal, who have overcome that notion to literally fully surrender and expect life every moment anew in the unfolding, are liberated. Are liberated. And that's full liberation.
When you don't question, and when you just surrender.
When you don't have even the notion of thinking about to question or not question.
Mm.
Not just don't question.
Okay, but so you are free in your mind, you are free in your spirit. You are just going with the flow of what's happening in the moment.
You can express it with very salop words, going with the flow, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's that way, yeah, going with the flow.
You don't like the concept? Many people.
No, going with the flow has such a.
There are even memes, you know, going with the flow, and the flow is full of turbulences, let's call it like this.
Yes, the flow is full of turbulences. It's just this going with the flow has a little bit of a notion for me that it's used so widely, and it doesn't really. The concept itself doesn't really understand fully what it really means to go with the flow.
Uh-huh.
You see? So to give this absolute surrender, and even that surrender, and here is the point, must come from a zero point.
Mm-hmm.
It must come from a zero point. This surrender cannot be cognitively, I sit down and now I don't judge anymore and now I wait for everything that life brings on.
Absolutely.
The liberation can only come when that notion is not there anymore. And that's a gradual, let's say, a gradual development of the human cognitive expression. Because that is developing. You know, that is gradually growing and expanding. Nothing else needs to expand because the one mind doesn't, in that sense, need to expand. You see? It's the manifestation in the different realms, in the different dimensions, and the traveling the different dimensions that wants to kind of see and get some expansion towards that only one realization.
Thank you, Bear. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, for keeping the space. It was very, very nice to have you here and to elaborate on so many topics or notions that could really give a pointer to all of us on our path, right, in this journey with everything and that's happening nowadays. And I'm also referring that also from my perspective that was a lot of confusion in some of them, and you beautifully said that you should always go within. Thank you for these reminders, and I hope you all enjoy and practice more and more, or you come closer to your KDI UCL.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey with another voice of the One Mind. We thank you for your support, and to ensure that you never miss a drop of this wisdom nectar, click subscribe and stay connected with us on the onemind.org. Until next time, may your path be illuminated with profound insights and growth.